Welcome, welcome to everyone. God bless you. I'm glad that you're here. And it was wonderful to be able to worship with each one of you. Amen. Amen. Let's honor the Lord one more time. Just give him a clap offering for what he has done. He is good. He's so beautiful indeed. Wow. Wow. I'm still in awe. I'm still in awe. You know, I love that scripture that I just read from 1 Kings because it's true. It's like, you know, the cloud of glory fills the temple. And it's like the priests, they can't do the work that they were supposed to do because the glory of God was so thick. And it fills the room. You know that is what the Lord is doing, is continually doing, and it's only getting thicker and thicker and thicker. Amen. Is there an agreement? Do we understand what God is doing? Yeah, we've seen it, we've experienced it on and on and on, but you know, we do have to admit it's increasing. It is increasing. Amen. Just the thick cloud of glory. That's what I'm referring to, the thick cloud of glory. Thank you, Father. And so we have been on this journey of talking about the glory of God and teaching about the glory and what he does in the intense presence of the King. And we have learned some things about the glory of God. Number one, we have learned that the glory of God is the presence of God. It is his presence. It is the presence of Jesus. What is the glory? He fills us with himself. He fills us with his power. He fills us with his essence. He fills us with himself. Amen? We understand that Jesus is the brightness of glory and the expressed image of his person. And we know that Jesus Christ in us, the expressed image of his person shining forth in us, it is his glory shining forth in us. Why is that important? Because with the glory of God, you will beam forth his light into a generation that needs to know that there is hope in Christ. That's just one reason why it's important. That is just why we enjoy the glory. We enjoy his presence. Amen. And we all enjoy his presence. But beyond us enjoying his presence, which is so glorious, there's another purpose. And so that when we go, we have some tangible, the power of God to release to a dying world that needs to know that Jesus is alive, he is in charge, and he is alive forevermore. So we're not going to be satisfied with just one touch. We're not going to be satisfied with just one touch. We want to be filled to the overflow. And I believe that is a prayer that God is allowing us to have and also answering that prayer. There is a cloud. There's like this bubble of glory that he just like surrounds you in this cloud of glory. But I see it like a bubble. They're laughing because you know what? It makes sense. Some of you are going, well, it makes sense. Well, it makes sense to some of us. It makes sense to some of us. I was thinking about that today as I was going through like what he would have me say. And you know, it was back in 2008 when God started to pour his glory everywhere I went. 17 years ago is when this started to happen in my life. I was walking with the Lord for a long time before the glory, the outpouring of glory started to fill everywhere. 2008. And I'm telling you, it wasn't just at church. It wasn't just in my prayer time. It would happen when I was driving in the car all by myself behind the steering wheel. I remember today God put me in remembrance of this one specific time. I was driving like no kids in the car, and I just me, and I remember hands on the steering wheel, and it happened. The glory started to fill the car inside the vehicle. I wasn't asking. It wasn't like I was saying, Lord, please, you know, like, do. I was just driving. But it had been in a season where this continually started to happen, but now it happened in the car. And let me tell you, I did have to be very, very careful because it was a little bit difficult to drive. But if he did it, he's going to protect me, right? And so I'm driving and I'm hanging on to the steering wheel because I can feel this thick, it's hard to describe it, but I'll do my best, this thick, You know, we call the Shekinah glory, right? So it's very thick, it's heavy, and it's weighty. It's very weighty. There are times I can't, my legs feel like lead. Very hard to move. So this is in the car, and I'm driving, and I'm like this. Like, okay, you can only go so far because your headrest and like, but I can feel like my whole body like wanting to go further back, and like, I'm like, uh-oh, okay, Lord, look, what are we doing? As I'm trying to drive, but the Lord gave me a vision that day, too, and He showed me that His presence is like a bubble. That's why when I said the cloud, like a bubble, like a glory cloud, like a bubble, right? Because that's how He showed it to me. So it was like this bubble all around me, and wherever I went, I was saturated in that cloud of glory, in that bubble, you know? And so it didn't matter where I went. It's like I had this wall of Jesus all around me. Yes, in me. But I'm saying there was a tangible presence where there was this wall, this thick outer coating that I don't care what was going on externally in my life, in my family's life, I walked with an understanding that this cloud of glory was surrounding me and protecting me and with me, which was the Lord, Jesus Christ. For those people that are like, what is she talking about? Cloud, glory. Jesus, His glory, His presence, right? And so His cloud, His presence is very real. Read through the scriptures. This is just one example, encounter of the glory realm of God. I can tell you many, and I'm not going to tell you many today. I'll tell you what the Lord tells me to tell you, but I will eventually, as God allows. But I am telling you that was just the beginning, because it got radical, way more radical than that. And it's just Him, and He saturates you with the glory because He wants to strengthen you in the inside, and He wants to tell you where you're going, tell you what you're supposed to do, and equip you so that you are prepared for whatever it is, right? But not just that. When He does all that I'm talking about, you become so undone in His presence, all you really care about is Him. Your love for Him increases. Your love for Him is transformed. You go from, I love Jesus, I want to walk with Him, I want to obey Him, I want to read His word, and you do all of that, but it's beyond that. Your hunger changes, your thirst, your appetite changes. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's your appetite, your hunger, you know, whether you had an experience like I just said, or not, maybe it's something different. That doesn't matter. The point is that God will reveal Himself and make Himself known and cause you to realize He is a real God, a right now God. He is present with you, and He does reveal Himself to us, and He wants that. He wants that. This is not unbiblical. Amen? Thank you, Father. So the continuation of God's glory, our sufficiency is of Christ, right? Yes, our sufficiency, right? So we're ministers of the new covenant. We are ministers of reconciliation. The Bible talks about that. We're ministers of the new covenant, the Spirit of God. You come to a service like this, you get filled with the radical presence of God. You have an encounter that changes your life. Let me tell you, you do change.
I want to take a moment right now and just thank you for your continued financial support to this ministry and for your faithful partnership in prayer. You know, the Lord is doing amazing things, and I am just at awe at what He is doing, how many souls are being reached for the kingdom because of people like you that have partnered with us. So I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you. Thank you for your continued prayer and your continued support as lives are being reached for the kingdom. It's all for the purposes of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's get back to the teaching.
Some of you, you realize that you change after you leave, but many you realize, I was changed right there. I know something took place. But for others, you realize as you leave, you go, man, I'm different. I feel different. You cannot be the same in the presence of God. He will change you, right? So what happens is He gives you life impartation, words that you go forth and give to other people. So now you have words that are literally imparting life to other people. You were not called to be a Christian that had nothing to give to anybody else. You get filled with the glory, and everything comes forth out of that place of God's glorious presence. Everything. Everything. Hallelujah. So His glory is abundant. Let's turn our Bible to Galatians and chapter 3. His glory is abundant. It's abundantly supplied. Thank you, Father, for the glory of God that is abundantly supplied. Hallelujah. We got lots of scriptures to go through, and we'll go through on the timing of the Lord. How about that? We have all night. We have coffee back there. So we're good. Thank you, Father. Thank you. And it's Saturday night. Where else would you want to be? Want to be right here? Right here? All right. I'm in Ephesians. Okay, so Galatians chapter 3. Let's just first look at verse 5. Therefore, it says, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the work of the law or by the hearing of faith? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit, he supplies what you need. He supplies the Spirit. The glory of God is the Spirit of God empowering you, but he is the one who supplies the glory. He supplies the Spirit, and he does so abundantly. Why? To refresh you. Sometimes you just need refreshing. You sense it. You can sense when the glory is thick, can you not? It's continual. How? We just read it. The hearing of faith. You hear the word. We just read it. He who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles amongst you does it. He says, does he do it by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? What is faith? Faith is believing that this word comes to pass every single time. Amen. God supplies the Spirit. The glory falls afresh. You walk into this place. God had already assigned what he was going to do, and he called hungry hearts to come together, hearts that would worship him and beckon him and tell him how much they loved him, and God was ready to pour out. He was ready to pour out a glory that you have not seen in the past, and I believe each time he wants to do more and more and more. I believe that there's no limitations when it comes to him. We're the ones that put limitations. We're the ones that put these certain limitations, and it happens, and we got to break those things off because we don't want those to continue to happen because there's so much more he wants to do and show us. But he's the one that supplies. He supplies the Spirit. He supplies the glory. He supplies the abundance. You get baptized, what happens? People fall out in the Spirit. You come in, you're hungry, like, oh, and then people fall out in the spirit, right? The glory fills you, and you get filled with laughter. The glory fills you, and laughter fills the room. Joy fills your heart. Jesus is joy. There was nothing funny. There was nothing. No one said anything to you, but the glory came and filled you with laughter. And all of a sudden, you started laughing. All of a sudden, it was power. His power started to fill you over and over and over. What is this? What is happening? You're getting an infusion. You're getting an infusion of his Spirit. You're getting an infusion of his glory. I think if we were to ask the Lord, in which we are, help us to understand more and more what it means to walk in the realms of glory, your glory. He will show you more and more. He's doing it by the Spirit of Christ, by the Spirit of revelation. It's what we all need as believers. It's what we all need. It's what strengthens and fortifies and calls and causes you to be different, separated, set apart, and on fire as a believer. Amen? Amen. So for some of you, you know, the natural man didn't quite understand what took place tonight, but I'll tell you, you received it by your Spirit. For some, for many, you received it even in the natural man. But for some, your natural man is going, what? But you received it by your Spirit because you were hungry. So God is a Spirit, and he abides in you when you remain in Christ. Let's turn to Exodus 33. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father. We love your word, and we love to read it. We love to learn it, and we want this word to be in us, and we want this word to just continue to grow on the inside of us. God is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He abides on the inside of us as Christ, as we remain in Christ. Exodus 33:14. And he said, and the Lord said, and this is to Moses, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. This is important. His presence, this is my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. His presence gives you rest. When you're in rest in the Spirit of God, there is a power explosion that can take place because his presence gives you rest, and we rest in the rest of God, and it is the rest of God that causes you to walk in his strength and not your own. That's why there's a power explosion when you're in the presence of God. His presence goes with you, and his strength gives you rest. That is his glory. You're not striving. You're not trying to make something happen. We don't heal anybody. You're not the healer. I'm not the healer. We don't heal anybody. It's Christ in us that is allowed to move. Now, we have faith for healing, and we understand our authority, but it is Christ who does the work. It is Christ who does the work in and through us as we rest in knowing who we are in Christ. And that is simple. That's why it seems so simple, because it is simple. The walk of the Spirit, because it should be the glory of God that you're looking at, not the individual, right? So his presence goes with you. He gives you strength. It's his glory. Exodus 33:14, the Lord says to Moses, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. His presence will give you rest. It is the rest of God. It's this rest mode where there is no striving. If you were going to try to walk in the realm of God's glory and release miracles, and you were going to do it in your own strength and your striving, it doesn't work. But you learn how to walk in the rest of God, it starts to work. Because you realize all your energy that you were trying to do things on your own and trying to make something to come to pass and failed every single time. But you realize, oh, wait a minute, if I just switch and realize I'm going to rest in the presence of God and I'm going to let God, through faith in me, work his work. Now you're talking. Are we following? The more at rest you are, the more his presence is there. And the more glory fills the room, the thicker it gets. That's why when you come and you enter into his rest, you come and you enter into a place of worship and adoration, not striving, not contentious, not agitated with anybody, just focused on Jesus. And then the next person comes with that same heart, same mindset, the glory gets thicker and thicker in the room. The glory of God, where the priests could hardly even do their work, because it was so thick. God's presence was so thick. So the more at rest you are, the more his presence is there, and the more that the glory fills the room, and people get healed and transformed just by being there, just by being in the glory. That's why we hear testimonies so many times. We hear testimony after testimony of, I just was in the presence of God, and I got healed. Shouldn't be a shock. It's the way it's supposed to be, right? People get healed. People get transformed because you get filled with the Spirit of Jesus, who is Jehovah Rapha. Amen? So his presence will go with you, and he will give you rest. His presence and his rest equal glory. I want you to remember that. Now, look at verse 18. Still the same chapter, same book, Exodus 33, but 18. And he said, please show me your glory. So Moses asked him, okay, I want you to show me your glory. And verse 19, then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. Stop right there. Wait, he asked him He says, please show me your glory. And he said, it's my goodness. He says, show me your glory. And he says, I will make my goodness pass. I will show you my goodness. His goodness is his glory. Sometimes people just make the glory something that is so unreachable, something that is so beyond anything that anybody could even understand. Have you seen the goodness of the Lord? Have you heard about his goodness? Has he been good to you? His goodness is his glory. You have a tangible evidence that God's goodness is God's glory. He just got done saying it in the word. His goodness is his glory. Can we all attain to that? Can we all have examples of that? 100%. 100%. The goodness of God is attached to the glory of God. It's one and the same. That's why his word says in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy, surely goodness and mercy shall follow after you all the days of your life. Surely goodness and mercy. Let's stay. Let's read a little bit more from Exodus and 33. I'm going to start again in verse 18. And he said, please show me your glory. And then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord your God before you. He says, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by. While my goodness passes by, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Wow. We have a better covenant. We have a better covenant. First of all, the glory changed Moses. I don't want to get ahead of myself. We're going to read in a moment how he came back shining. He was shiny. We should be shiny. Very shiny. Shining the glory of God because we've been in the presence, right? So, but Moses, the glory that was given and put upon him was fading, wasn't it? Those of you that know the word, the glory was fading, but he couldn't see his face. He couldn't see the face of the Lord, right? But our glory is not fading. It's unending. The glory of God in us is not fading. It's unending. You don't need to veil yourselves because with unveiled faces, we look upon the Lord. Oh, somebody get the revelation of where we're going here tonight. It's with unveiled faces that we seek him and see him, and he reveals himself to us, not veiled. The glory of God, first of all, is unending now, New Testament. With unveiled face, we behold the glory of the Lord, and we are being transformed into the same image. We're being transformed into the same image. It's better. We have what is better than what Moses experienced. See, sometimes we read some of these and we go, oh, man, if we could just, I just want 40 days. Hey, I've said it. 40 days, that's all I just, 40 days, me and Jesus. I don't care where it is. 40 days all by myself. And that's true. We hunger for that. I hunger for that, right? But wait a minute. We actually have something better than what, instead of going back, God says, but I have something better for you than what you read in the Old Testament. Jesus fulfilled. He's the fulfillment of all of that. He says, I've got something better, the new, the everlasting covenant that I want to pour upon you. You're not going to be veiled. Hallelujah. Somebody get the understanding here. Thank you, Jesus. We have a better, unfading glory. When you know the glory, you are changed from glory to glory. When you know his goodness, you are changed from glory to glory. When you understand that you're to rest in him, in his presence, you go from glory to glory. You understand that there is not a striving involved. That's the opposite spirit. Instead, there's a resting involved. And in the rest, God does his best. Hallelujah. It's in the rest. Our ability to learn how to rest, that God does his best because we allow it, because we're not trying to get our way in there, make something happen, right? So it's the image of Jesus. You watch him and you're transformed. That's why it says beholding. What is beholding? You're watching him. You're looking at him. You're beholding his goodness. In your mind's eye, you're beholding his goodness. You're watching him. You're being transformed. You're being transformed into his image, into the glory, into the power, into the rest of God, and his glory will change you. He changes us. That better covenant. Let's jump over, remembering what we just got done reading about Moses, right? Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 3. And 13. I want to start with 13. Because the glory that we have is better than the glory that Moses experienced. Although that was wonderful and incredible. 2 Corinthians 3 and 13. Are we all there? Okay, so it says, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, of what was passing away. Go jump up to verse 7. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, and it was, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. Look at verse 8. Are we all there? How will the ministry of the Spirit be more glorious? The ministry of the Spirit of God is now. It says, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. Hey, that's our covenant. That's what's been promised unto us. And it says it exceeds. It's comparing what we have to what Moses had. Are we all following? Well, I'm just going to get excited myself because I think this is pretty amazing. Thank you, Jesus. There's a better ministry. There's more. It's more glorious than what Moses had. Thank you, Father. Give us an eyes to see and remove any veil that we would be able to comprehend the gift of God in us. Because the only reason that you wouldn't comprehend it is because you're so stuck on the problems and instead of focusing on the problem solver. Right? So verse 10, For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. There's a glory that's excelling right now in and through us. I feel his presence so strong. I know the glory of God. Yes, Lord. We told that in a boss. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. Verse 11. For if what is passing away was glorious, here it goes. Somebody's going to get it now. Here it goes. All right, here we go. If what was passing away was glorious, we remember that was Moses passing away. The glory was passing away, had to veil himself. Verse 11, for if what was passing away was glorious, what remains is more glorious. What we have is more glorious. God didn't shortchange you. You're not shortchanged. You actually have more. Much more than even what was spoken about in the Old Testament. Although we love those Old Testament stories, do we not? Yes, we got an upgrade. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament. That same veil remains even on many Christians today. And that's why I'm making such a big deal about helping you to understand the realm of glory that we're to walk in is actually better than the Old Testament. But the veil has to be removed. Because otherwise you're always longing for something that you wish you could have had, but you can't because God doesn't, you know. No, God's given you better. He's actually given you better. We have the Spirit of Christ in us, right? So verse 14, but their minds were blinded. For it says, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. The veil is only taken away in Christ. That's why the world has no clue as to what you get so excited about, has no understanding why you would go to a three-hour service and you do it two times a week. Why would you be in church 6 hours? Well, for us, many, many more hours than that, because we get here really early and we leave very late. And I've never done the math, but we need to do that. It'd be fun to find out on time. It does. But we love it. To be in the congregation of the saints. But the world doesn't understand. They don't understand. But it's not just the world that doesn't understand. It's even many Christians. Because until they've tasted and seen how good the Lord is and have a taste of his tangible presence and know that God wants to reveal himself to us today, he wants to reveal himself, he wants to reveal his love, the love of the Father, and so much more, right? Although that would have been enough. But the veil is taken away in Christ. So, but even to this, verse 15, but even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now it says, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's freedom. Amen? And then here it tells us, everything that I've just been telling you, it's summed up in this last verse, verse 18. We've read this verse many times, but now in the light of the discussion that we just had with Glory, I want to read it again. It says, but we, with unveiled face, that's our privilege, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, from glory to glory, not from fear to glory, from glory to glory, from strength to strength, amen? From glory to glory, it says, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Just as by the Spirit of the Lord, we are being transformed from glory to glory as we behold him, as we keep our eyes fixed on him. It says that the Spirit of the Lord is the spirit of victory, that spirit of freedom, right? But do all Christians experience it? They can. They certainly can, but they don't. They don't all. Why? They need to behold the glory with unveiled face. As you behold the glory, everything changes in your lives. Everything changes. Keep going. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And it says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. It's not veiled to us. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. It's the light of the gospel of the glory of God shines on you. Every time you read the gospel, it's the light of the gospel of the glory of God that shines upon you. Every time you open up the scriptures, it's the light of the gospel of the glory of God. His word is glorious, and his glory gets into you every time you allow the light of the gospel to shine upon you. Amen? And so it says, who is the image of God who shines on them? For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts now, right now, today. And every time you're in his word, every time you're in worship, every time that you're looking and beholding him, he is shining in your hearts today. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You're good. Hebrews 1:3. We're going to get this. I'm going to keep drilling it. And we're going to keep talking about it in different angles and different ways because we need to understand. Listen, it's the glory of God. He says, I'm not going to share my glory with anybody. Be it he pours his glory into us. But he says, I will not share my glory. Right? We know the word, right? He says, I'm not going to share my glory, but he pours his glory into us. Yeah, because we're not stealing, we're not taking the praise. Amen. Yes, amen. We're talking about representing him. Yes. We're talking about the glory that he pours into us so that we represent him well. Yes. So there's a difference between I will not share my glory and the fact that he has glorified you and his glory is filled in your lives. Amen? Let's look at Hebrews 1, chapter 1, in verse 3. Because glory and image go hand to hand. They go hand in hand. I want you to understand that the image, your image, should be his glory. I want you to see your image, yourself. People are so focused on their image. What's your image? The glory of God? It should be the glory of God. You know, what's your self-image? Well, Jesus? You just keep answering Jesus and you'll be all right. You'll be all right. Jesus? But it's true, though. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. Let's do it. Read that again. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, then he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high, having become so much better than angels, as it says, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. God, verse 1, God who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets has in these last days spoken to us by his son. Jesus is speaking right now. Spoken to us by his son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he has also made the world. Jesus, the brightness of his glory, the expressed image of his person lives in you. His image lives in you. His glory lives in you. You are the exact representation. He is saying, I want you to shine forth Jesus. I want you to realize it's not about you, but when you get a revelation of the glory of God, then everything changes. Because there's a power explosion that happens on the inside. You will not be able to be stopped. Not by man that's against God. Not by that Antichrist spirit. You will not be able to be stopped. You will not be able to be stopped because you understand you carry the image and the likeness. You weren't just made. You weren't just created in his image and in his likeness. You carry it. And if you carry it, you're going to pour it out. If you're carrying his images like this, you're going to pour it out. That's what we're called to do, to help other people. I'm going to help other people along the way. Amen? You know, the devil tries to keep the glory out of your life, by the way. I mean, he's trying right now for some of you. He tries to keep your understanding of your inheritance, of walking in the glory of God. He's trying to take that out of your mind, out of your ability to even comprehend fully what I'm even talking about, so that you don't change into the image of God fully, day by day, moment by moment. So what's really yours, you don't walk in. It's still yours, but you don't walk in it. Well, that's how many Christians live, and that's not acceptable. Last scripture, John 17. Who's learning something here tonight? Amen. We must understand, because when you learn, when the eyes of your understanding become enlightened, that bit of revelation is yours. No one will be able to change your mind because you have the understanding that is godly. And then no one, you can't be easily swayed. Because truth, remember, it's the truth that you know that is the truth that's going to save you and set you free. It's not the truth. It's not the truth you don't know. His truth sets you free, makes you free. But you got to know that truth in order for that truth to make you free, right? So that's why I'm repeating, and that's why I'm trying to say things in different ways so that we understand it, so that we know this beautiful privilege that God has given unto us. Because how you see yourself is how you're going to portray Jesus, right? So verse John 17 and verse 21. Well, I'm going to just start in verse 20. This is where Jesus was praying for all believers. This is incredible. Jesus says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, and that the world may believe that you sent me. Verse 22, and the glory which you gave me, this is Jesus speaking, and the glory which you gave me, someone tell me you've read this before, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them. The glory that Jesus, he's saying the glory that God gave Jesus, he says, Jesus gave to us. We carry the same glory that Jesus carried. Incredible. The same power and potential to release God's kingdom to a dying world lives on the inside of you, because the power of Christ, power of resurrection lives in you. We have the same glory that Jesus has. And he says, I have poured myself into you, the light of Christ in you. What are you doing with the glory? What do we do with the glory of God? We share it. We let that light go forth. We remind ourselves of who we are. We remember. We see his goodness. We know his glory. We remind ourselves, oh, if your presence goes, I will give you my rest. His rest is his glory. In his rest, we walk in the abundance. Because this is why, in his rest you walk in abundance when you're submitted and dependent upon Jesus. Because then he sees your dependency, and his rest causes all of his power to flow through you. Because we are dependent upon him. Amen? Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you, Lord God. It's getting deeper and deeper. Understanding is getting more and more. It's getting clearer and clearer, which means one thing. Their faith levels are rising up. And when faith levels rise up, there's going to be a holy, holy explosion of God's incredible, miraculous power, because we believe you at your word. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all of God's children said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.